Então, a pergunta da Cristiana é: sabemos que estas lutas são complicadas e, acima de tudo, feitas sem ganhos, equilibrando-a com a vida profissional e pessoal. Como conseguir mais pessoas para a frente das lutas? We know that these struggles are complicated and, above all, done without profit, equilibrating it with our professional life and our personal life. How can we get more people to the front line of the struggles?
Hi, thanks so much for the question. Yeah, I mean, it's a timeless kind of struggle, but I think the big thing is to really try to begin more abstract and kind of cliche, is to really begin organizing spaces of joy and to be kind of and making sure that we're rooting our struggles and fights out of joy, out of love, out of things that we care about, and to kind of because these can get lost through the bureaucracy, through the repression, and through a lot of the different kind of internal fights with friends and things that are kind of often fueled by ego. But to really, I guess what I'd say, I mean, there's a lot of different kind of communication strategies that are discussed in terms of how to organize and how to communicate to people. But I think, in my experience, it's and I've seen this in many different spectrums, but in a way to kind of to try to be open, to try to be accepting of people. This means also kind of having lots of patience and learning where to draw the line with having patience. But I mean, it all depends on the context, but let's pretend if you're trying to organize in a small town, this means trying to have more kind of fun of events, having more kind of communal gatherings where people are actually hanging out with each other, speaking over food. But, you know, doing different info events and talks, but doing things around food, organizing things that way. And I think really working to kind of expand people to work on kind of imagination of not only how to organize, how to kind of create communal relationships and to get to know each other and to see where people are at. But really working to expand the imagination in general in terms of how people can engage in subversive strategies to raise awareness in different areas. So kind of the cliche and typical things are, you know, different art and posters, different messages, theater events, talks, having, I guess, what you call potlucks and but inviting people to bring food to talk, making different kind of music events, gatherings. These also tie up with kind of manifestations or different actions, nature hikes. But there's so many ways. There's so many different ways that art and kind of visual kind of different kind of graffiti or art can kind of play a role in kind of captivating people and also just kind of new information. But I think the idea is to kind of try to keep things fun, to have a nice kind of social, to have something more than just information or fighting, but to have kind of a communal aspect that can be kind of rooted in all this. Because really, mining, the technical aspects of numbers, pollution, and destruction, while understanding these things are important, but it's also and also fighting to taking kind of direct action against these things, and these can be very stressful. So how to do this in a fun way, how to create kind of spaces of care, how to learn each other, how to learn about each other, and learn how to take actions. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways to intervene and organize, but I think the most important part is to find at least one, two, or three people nearby that you have a relative level of trust, and then start coming up with plans about how you're going to have fun on the weekends and try to include other people and raise issues that you think are really important. And then hopefully from there, be able to either take actions individually or as a group or both.
Agora vamos passar à questão da Teresa. How can we best keep the momentum going after long months or even years of resistance when fatigue sets in and small differences of opinion between activists start to come gapping fractures inside or between the movements? Como podemos melhor aguentar a inércia, a força? Depois de longos meses ou até anos de resistência, quando o cansaço se instala e pequenas diferenças de opinião entre ativistas começam a tornar-se fraturas, grandes fraturas, dentro ou entre os movimentos.
Teresa, okay, These are the good questions. These are the ones that really matter and are extremely difficult. I mean, all the questions have been great so far. Yeah, it's not easy. And I think this relates to the kind of the last answer is to try to always, it's about how one can be balanced in their life and in their struggle. Because I think maybe to get a bit philosophical is that industrial systems are really designed on making us into be cogs, to be specialized, so that we are narrowly focused on one thing. And I think, and that means we get a bit obsessive, it gets wound up in our identities, and it makes it, it inflames our egos. So we'll really get each other's throats. We become a little too personally invested, and this can lead to lots of different type of infighting. Then at the same time, some infighting is extremely important. And I guess laying some groundwork is really important about, and it really comes back to the earlier questions of politicians and different things like this, and to making sure that everything stays decentralized. I think control on like a general scale, but even on a personal scale, has a way of suffocating movements and exhausting people, especially with endless discussions and assemblies, when really I think the idea is clear, the mind needs to stop. There's a lot of past strategies and failures of working with politicians and being betrayed. There's a lot written about these things, but to be clear that the mind needs to stop, and that it's really, all the cards are on the table in terms of actually how to keep an eye on that objective, how to stay positive and to support a diversity of action that will be taken against it, and to encourage this and to continue kind of spaces of positivity, of happiness, of cool events, of social events. And I think this means making sure that one's kind of balanced in their life. I mean, personally, I have to do certain types of meditation. I practice a lot of different Qigong. I have to do a lot of little things to actually stay and to ensure my mental health and different kind of health practices based in different struggles and under a lot of different types of stresses, some of them political, some of them work related, and so on and so forth. But so I think trying to, again, related to the last question, keep kind of a fun, social, positive event of things. Try to kind of maintain practices of personal mental health, and to also just stay balanced to make sure that you're spending time gardening, spending time with kids or taking walks, and making sure that you have space for yourself, while also not trying to exert too much control over struggles. And for me, one of the big issues to encourage is to have a generational connection to support the young people who are ready to be more aggressive and to struggle against these things, and to make sure that people aren't going to be divided by different kind of psychological propaganda and even repressive strategies, or what I would call counterinsurgency strategies, to divide people, to prevent the people from actually taking physical and material action to stop things, and to still be supportive. And that can be just making food, even smiling, being happy, and to allow those things. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it, what's in this question is creating spaces of care, coming up with kind of practices and ideas for mental health in terms of how to stay strong, try not to become too invested and take things too seriously, make sure that the liver is healthy and working, functioning, and it can really go in this kind of deep direction of kind of health, and this will come from different epistemologies and how one kind of relates to land and health and things like this, but it's not easy. These are struggles that involve our lives and families and things like this. And it's how to keep it fun, how to keep it rooted in joy, how to not exert too much control in personal relationships, but also over movements, and also how to make sure that one has a practice to kind of stay calm, decompress, and to try to let go of certain things. While at the same time, I think there's certain rules of creating space and to be very skeptical of politicians or even kind of movement politicians, of people trying to control things too much when things need to be fun, decentralized, and I guess, for lack of a better word, combative and imaginative to stop these projects. But again, I'm happy to go into some of these things because it's pretty deep and serious stuff that's extremely personal, and I can maybe go into this in some ways. But yeah, thanks so much for the question.
Prontos. A questão territorial faz com que a defesa deste território seja levada a cabo, em primeiro lugar, pela gente diretamente afetada por determinado projeto. Mas quando os vários projetos se juntam, ou estão relacionados, como aqui no Norte de Portugal, oito ou nove zonas de concessão mineiras em que o Estado pretende otorgar, está mal escrito, como se defende de forma constante, solidária e da forma mais igual possível todos estes diversos territórios? Qual a hipótese que certos territórios caiam e os movimentos não tenham a capacidade de contrariar isto e, por consequência, se desolidarizem? The territorial question makes that defense of this territory must be taken by the, in first place by the people directly affected by this determined project. But when the various projects come together, or they are relationed, as here in the north of Portugal, 8-9 mining concession zones that the state wants to give away, how do you defend in a constant, solidary and most equal form possible all these diverse territories? What's the hypothesis that certain territories fall and the movements don't have the capacity of contrarying that, and for as a consequence they desolidarize?
Okay, thank you. First, one of the big myths about all of this is that mining doesn't affect everyone, because it does. You're going to have some areas just affected more at a higher intensity than others, and people downstream from rivers will have different kind of, they'll have different pollution in their water supply. There's going to be different kind of dusts in the air. The fact is that every type of industrial development, mine, or kind of industrial disaster or social disaster will have rippling effects in many places across the world. It's just a difference of across the world, but also country and also a region and also between towns. So it's a question of actually just intensity of where people are being affected. And so really this idea of slow violence, or the way that actually there's the accumulative building up of different industrial projects, different pollutions. There's been a progressive kind of degradation of people's genes, mentality, and bringing on different sicknesses. Obviously to prove some of these things is a very contested matter in terms of the way that of the long-term changes that are happening to people and their bodies and their health over generations from ultimately industrial development, which mining is at the center of. So this is a big issue of how there's a slow violence that is systemic, that people no longer see, or that is difficult to see for a lot of people, which relates to the lack of sensitivity and a lack of connection to where we live and actually what matters to people in their lives, and the way that people are trading things in to either to just have jobs or to make sure that they have television, to be better integrated into a computational society that is extremely capitalistic, that is based on kind of short-term reward, that's based on ecological degradation. So there's deeper social issues about the levels of violence that have been normalized, and about actually how to reveal them, to undermine them, and to really get people to feel again, to care again, to see the value in the different rivers, in the mountains, in the trees, and actually how we're a part of them. But instead there's this kind of self-suicidal kind of push of them people, or to ignore it, or they're marginalized through work and life and kids and just really trying to survive. But that's kind of just the first part of the question, is to recognize that everyone is affected by these things in some ways, and that there's a generational ripple in terms of the impacts that they'll have, and it's they're building on top of each other from the colonial era to times of kind of ancient civilizations. It's a continuum. But how to defend the territories? So, well, yeah, one, recognize that everyone's going to be affected. There's going to be a cost, and these things, despite the public relations by the mining companies, are going to spread, and some spread way worse than others, but they're always going to spread. They're always going to have an impact. It's always going to be doing things. Two, yeah, and to the second question, they're going to keep taking. There's always going to be more mines. There's always going to be more natural resource extraction to take. There's just been such an insane intensification of literally trying to grab anything that is being revalued and is marketable to kind of a capitalist project, but also just for technological development and control. So there's the kind of the theme of kind of state and capital control and profiteering. But I think the thing is in terms of these struggles, reflecting on military manuals are important to not only understand what police and military are doing, political science books to understand the kind of manipulative diplomatic techniques being used to divide people, but to understand that most of struggles or most of war, some people say, are 90% psychological in terms of how you can get into people's heads. And the thing that I want to stress here is to demoralize people, to get into their heads, to break them, to divide them, and to make them think that it's pointless, to demoralize them, to make them not want to fight, to make them be disappointed. And that's the thing. So if a territory or part of a territory is lost, it's important to not, they're going to take more territory. So it's not to be demoralized, but it's to learn from those things, to have low expectations in people and things around you, and to just do the best you can to have fun. And most importantly, to stay positive. And more than that is to be decided about your positions in these struggles, about what matters to you. If you have a commitment towards the rivers, if you have a commitment toward the trees, if you have a commitment towards the mountains, and to your friends and your family and the cats or the animals, and I can go on all day, and you're rooting that struggle in yourself, you're doing these things for yourself and for the things that you care about and the creatures around you, then you have to become decided about how you're going to approach these things, how you're going to move and how you're going to stop them. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe the commitment or the connection's not that strong. But overall, it's about not becoming demoralized. It's about continuing. It's about taking joy and destroying the things that are destroying what you care for, and for the stress and the troubles that people have. And a lot of these, again, as I say, I'm speaking about these things kind of at a distance, in the sense of it's a lot of kind of hard political work. It's a lot of shitty conversations. It's a lot of confrontations. It's a lot of these things, but it's about how one can find joy and find play and actually in undermining mining projects and undermining the horrible political kind of maneuvers that are being used to kind of buy and sell people's minds. It can be depressing, but it can also be fun. It can also be laughable. We are often faced with choices where we either have to laugh or cry. It's best to laugh and to come up with a new strategy to make this theater more fun, more entertaining, and more in the interest of actually stopping projects. But it's not easy, but it's about how to have fun and to not become demoralized, because that is ultimately the goal of, it's not just about demoralizing you, it's also about making you addicted, to be enchanted, to believe in different myths about green, about polluting less in these different ways, even though a lot of times, almost every time, there's spillovers from the kind of the waste pools, and it's, I think many of the people on here know the story about what happens with mines, pipelines, and the reality of these things, but it's about how to have fun with it and to not be demoralized. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for being there. And these are really great and difficult and really a lot of the important questions. Happy to be in conversation. And yeah, I really appreciate them. And hopefully, yeah, they're useful in some way. And maybe I will come back to this region again and hope to meet you all one day. Thank you for being there. Obrigado.